Griplock preview for the Des Moines Challenge out in Iowa. Different from Idaho.
It is in Iowa.
Idaho,
we have not been to Iowa.
Yes. The thing that, this is actually funny. We're going to talk about this in a second.
But I kind of want to go to Idaho now. I've seen this course a few times. I've been to Idaho.
One of the things that...
Go Hawkeyes.
One of the big course changes that happened here is really the only changes are down the stretch. They moved hole 17 to hole 16, and they added a new hole 17, new hole 18. The new hole 17 this year has basically... Coming from the woods, going out into the open, and then there's an OB carry to an Iowa-shaped green.
That's sick.
And, well,
event's got flavor, man. It's got flavor.
We had Brody Smith send out a tweet about this hole.
Yeah, I saw him tweet about forced
carries. And he said,
forced
carries. We need more of this in disc golf. And then Drew Gibson responded back and said, did you hear they're shaping the green like the state of Georgia at Augusta National this year on hole 12? Yeah, it'll be sick on the drone a few times a day. Trying to get a little salty about the green. And then someone said, it's so the foundation can know the difference between Iowa and Idaho.
That's
and I said,
funny,
valid.
Funny tweet.
Because it clicked with me. When I saw hole 17's green, I was like, that's not Idaho. Idaho's long and slender.
I've got to say one thing, though. First of all, that's a crazy take from Drew. Like, come on now. Iowa, correct me if I'm wrong, is a very bland shaped state.
It looks kind
it's
of
basically
rectangular.
A rectangle.
I'll show you.
So like that, they didn't have to like.
Yeah, but it's got like some undulations
right,
to it.
But, like they didn't have to do anything cuckoo crazy to make it work.
No,
like,
you want to see something crazy? There's this course in West Virginia I saw on Facebook. Did you see this?
No, we need to. I want to know your list of like top states that would make ridiculous greens, because like Virginia would be a fine green.
Virginia would be fine.
It would just get narrowed down here.
Idaho, if you put it in the top part, West Virginia. There's a course in West Virginia that made a West Virginia shaped green, and West Virginia has that like out jut.
That's actually
right,
kind of
really
tight.
And they put the basket in that, so it's like 3 feet by 3 feet around the basket.
Dude, I'm trying to think of like what state would just make like a Oklahoma, and you toss it like there, or Florida
on the panhandle,
basically. I don't know. I mean,
Hampshire would just be tiny.
I don't think that's...
Or Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah. Rhode Island or like any of Connecticut. Like there's some small ones. But
I
don't think that's cheesy at all.
No, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind it because like as a viewer,
subtle.
When you're on the ground, you probably won't even notice it.
No.
And then if we can see it if nothing else from the caddy book, it's like, oh, that's cool. Cool idea. Yeah. If we do get to see it in a drone shot, also cool.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like, again, it's not like they did it in a way that's like super gimmicky to where it's like, oh, they did it like the West Virginia one where it's like players have like 3 feet. Like it's a fair green.
Well,
it's a
I'll
good
be honest,
shape.
And obviously like you're talking about golf, like golf greens are traditionally rounded. So like you just can't have it look like a state. And I'll be honest with you. If Georgia was a state that fit the bill a little bit more of a golf green and the Masters happened to have a green that was that car, we'd talk about it every year. If it we'd worship it, be like, oh my gosh, the iconic 12th green. You know, you got to start somewhere with these traditions.
No, I think
it's good.
Cool. And I do like the...
Did Brody respond to that?
No, he's ignored it.
Man. Probably hasn't blocked.
Forced carries, and like Brody talking about that and disc golf, like it is true. This course seems to employ a lot of really good course design, it feels. Like,
you know who designed
it? Who?
Des Redding.
Did she really?
I believe I just read that.
Are you getting confused? It's Des Moines, not
no,
Des Redding.
No, I'm like 100% sure.
No,
I
you might
read
be right.
That on the website.
You might be right, but I really like this course design, this layout. I think it's one of the most underrated courses on tour. I think it's because it's so new to tour. It hasn't had that like history per se, but. And Brody always talks about this is one of his favorite events because the crowd there is always just so loud.
Yeah,
like it's not necessarily like super deep, but like the crowd is rowdy and is exciting there. Yeah. So
it,
let's see if Trevor can find.
No, it was so it's run. It's a club that includes Jay and Des Redding, but it was designed. I'm glad I looked this up. Designed by Juliana Corver.
Oh wow!
So, some other great FPO heritage there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of names associated with this course.
Yeah. Well, they did a great job. Juliana Corver, Des Redding, all of them.
Yeah.
They did a phenomenal job on this course. I'm very excited. Looking at the weather, it seems like they should have a fine weekend. Friday is going to be the scoring day. Looks beautiful out there. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the chances of rain comes in. Saturday, there's actually chances of scattered thunderstorms. We saw this tournament get canceled around early last year. With the storms coming in on Saturday, that means they should be able to get all three rounds in because it might be a situation where they have to get some golf in on Sunday, worst case scenario. But
yeah,
hopefully they're able just to play through. But it is something where players are going to want to get out the gates hot on Friday and then survive Saturday and Sunday if the weather hits the way it's saying now, because we are filming this quite a bit out from the event. So if it stays that way, then that's going to be the plan.
It's definitely, definitely a course you can get hot on. It's got some amazing design, such a great variety of shots. Every hole is so interesting to look at. That's one thing this course accomplishes that a lot of courses can't, especially when you're in a more... There's plenty of trees, but they employ things that give holes something to make it memorable, right? You have the mulch octagon on the short par three towards the back. You've got a number of different...
You have the water carry on five.
Some water carries. They just use different things
to make it memorable. The Iowa-shaped green.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fun course to look at. The design is smart. There's a lot of par threes, but each of them is unique in its own way and demands a different kind of shot. But because of the amount of par threes, if you are able to get hot and you're hitting your lines, there is a lot of scoring to be done. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, last year we saw two rounds. I think the winner came in at 19 under in MPO. It'll be interesting to see what that scoring looks like this year. It's definitely scorable, but there's plenty of trouble as well. There are a lot of those par threes just as easily as you can be making birdies. There's plenty of trees to run into. The fairways are fair, but there's some longer par threes as well. And then you also on the par fours have OB to contend with and some tight OB on certain holes, especially around those greens. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really love this course. I love this event in general. I genuinely believe now the field not being at full strength stinks, but like if I could choose a pro tour event, like a standard pro tour event to go to, not a playoff or a major or anything, this might be my first pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big, bold words.
I think like it looks like a great time.
It does. I've never been to this course, and Pickard Park's a fun name too. We might just need to book a trip out there.
We might. Maybe next year we hit up, maybe this year. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe we go play.
We still got time. Might have to go to Pickard Park.
Go Pickard Park.
We'll see how it goes this year. Let's pick one player that probably won't win. And if they win this tournament this weekend, we'll have to go this year.
Gavin Rathbun.
Is he playing?
Don't know.
Well, he's got
to be playing. I just threw a player.
That's a good one. That's not even that much of a long shot. Hunter's motivated. He wants to go to Pickard Park. But that's a good one. If he's playing, we'll say if Gavin Rathbun wins this tournament.
He's got to be playing, surely. Okay, let's see here.
I would think so.
Gavin Babcock. Gavin Rathbun, yep.
Okay, if Gavin Rathbun wins, we're going to Pickard Park this year.
There you have it. There you have it. Now, as Trevor had mentioned, it is a wounded field this year with a lot of players already over in Europe. Does this field, combined with his history, combined with him growing up 15 minutes from Des Moines, make this event a must-win for Gannon Burr?
You know, I will say this, because I was kind of saying earlier, like, man, we might have our first like must-win of the year because like this one really falls in Gannon's lap a little bit. I would say it's not quite a must-win just because of the fact that he's already won so many events this year. Had he been coming into this event in a season where maybe he has one win, maybe he has none, but he's got all these like top three finishes, then must win. Undoubtedly. Because of where he's at this season, I just say it feels more of like this is a nice little bonus from Gannon because like he's gonna get it, but not such desperation behind it. But I mean, you have to just love him.
Yeah, here. No, I don't think it's a must win like you were saying because he doesn't need it for his season. I do think it's a can't lose because everything lines up.
Like it all lines up.
Everything, all the stars have aligned, and it's just like if you were just to start drawing lines from like this relation to this relation to this, they all point to Gannon Burr. Like this is an event that this should be Gannon's. This could be Gannon's easiest win of the season. To be honest, the course lines up with him. Yeah. He basically, I think he's gonna be sleeping in his own bed.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, he won the event last year. He knows his course well. Like I don't know. I really like Gannon out here.
Maybe we might have to go. We might have to stay at Gannon's house if we go to Pickard.
There
Park.
You go. See his Lego collection.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be fun.
Calvin Heimberg currently registered.
Yeah.
But a pretty safe assumption that he's not going to be there, considering he was just posting from Europe like 2 days ago.
Yeah, recording this Wednesday. Obviously, the event starts Friday, so we don't have tee times yet. But, man, that would be a heck of a swing. I would honestly be so impressed.
Yeah, because he showed up to the Swedish Open, like, apparently, like, 8 hours before his tee time.
Played the course blind. A lot of guys aren't playing Finnish Nationals, are they?
I think Finnish Nationals, you have to be a European player.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, like, it's not like we could see if he's registered for a different event.
No, but I think he is registered for the... I'll go to Calvin's profile, because I'm pretty sure he is registered for the next European event.
He had to be a psychopath. Well, no...
Yeah, he's registered for Des Moines, July 5th, then he's registered for Crokul Open, July 12th, and he's already in Europe.
No shot.
So I don't think it's there's like, any chance he's flying over here.
Yeah,
flying
it's
back.
Like borderline impossible to like make that turn around and not just like. Like, he already played the first round of the last European event blind, and it cost him. Like, even if he was keeping in the back his back pocket, like, well, maybe I will travel back. Like, at this point, there's no way.
No. Well, also, people were saying, like, that's the whole reason he lost the event was he played it blind. His worst round was the third round when he wasn't playing it blind.
Yeah, I did. People were getting honest.
People
were
like coming after us. I'm like, no, we were asking like what, like the third round is when he shot his worst round.
I did. Yeah, I did notice
that. He's not playing blind anymore.
Guys, you did see that. Like, if you play a good round blind, you now know how to play the course well.
Yeah. And it's also like his first round, he played okay. It wasn't like he played great, but he played solid.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, the first round, he showed up like a few hours before his tee time. He's playing it blind, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, he played that round fine. I'm talking about round three.
Yeah.
Like,
his golfers love showing up a few minutes for a tee time, man.
If he does fly back to Des Moines, he's basically just shooting himself in the foot because then he'll be flying back to Crokel and he'll be playing three events in a row.
The jet lag would go crazy.
Yeah, it would just be something. His body wouldn't know what's
Calvin
going on.
Would be like a week. He'd be like a week in the wrong direction of everybody else's time.
Yeah, so expected the Calvin Heimberg not showing up.
Yeah.
If he does, then you know what? He's not going to be in our picks because I'd just be shocked. A player who is showing up, Simon Lazat, has pretty good history out here. Won this in 2022. What do you think on his chances for taking this one down?
I've kind of gotten over trying to like time up Simon Lazat and predict him because I think I've just decided that his putt is everything. All it took was one trip playing with him to see that like he does just throw the disc really well and his putt is incredibly streaky. It's not that he throws bad putts. Sometimes he's just a little bit off and he's just missing it. You know, when you're spin putter, that's the life. You would know best.
I wouldn't know best, but I do know.
You would know the best because you've been a spin putter since birth. But with that being said, like, yeah, so of course, as somebody who's won before and a course that works out just fine for him, I'm kind of sold on the idea. There's not many courses that don't work out for Simon Lazat. So if he putts well, he can absolutely win this event. Honestly, when he's putting at his best, I don't know that anybody beats him these days. Like it's very tough to beat Simon Lazat. We've always said that. So I think we'll get a pretty good tell round one what it's going to be like. If he comes out putting well, then yeah, look for him to win again.
Yeah, I do. I like this course for him because I think if you look, like, he won Music City this year, he won Music City last year, he's won this event before, and they have a similar vibe in the
not
fact that
a music instrument for the trophy though.
That is true. No music instrument for the trophy, but it's a similar vibe in the fact that like they have a more open general feel, but there are wooded aspects to it.
Yeah.
There are the longer the holes get, it's almost like the more tight your drive has to be, like the specific landing zones and specific spots. And I think that does play to Simon's advantage. Cause I do think where courses like this, where Simon has an advantage is he could give himself more birdie looks in the field, which then means he has more chances for his putt, even if it's off, to still be earning him and still scoring.
And the distance will help on this course. There's some long par threes, and there's one that's like 530. It's downhill, but it's long.
Yeah.
And then a lot of those, anytime you see those par fours that are coming in that 700 to 800 foot range, you know those top distance throwers are just going to have a much easier time getting up and down, and he's in that category for sure.
Yeah, so I like him from that aspect. If I think this course lines up, he's going to be comfortable here, all that, but you're right. It's just if his putter's off, then it doesn't. That matters at the end of the day. Another player that I think is in a similar boat where I think this course could line up well for them is Anthony Barella.
Yeah.
He's had some success out here. He hasn't won out here, but he's had some solid finishes. Do you think this could be the event that gets him back within the winner's circle?
Potentially. I think that last week was, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, was important for him. I said that he needed to get... Just needed to get back on his feet at an event, just play a solid weekend, not think about having to win and applying that pressure. And he was able to get back in the top 10, have exactly that, just kind of a solid get your feet back under you type event. So I think after that, that's kind of a feeling of relief, like, okay, I'm still capable. I can still play well. I'm not slipping off of a cliff, like, because it can feel that way when you start spiraling in your season. You know, we get towards the end, you start running out of chances. That can feel a certain way. But I think after that last event, being back in the top 10, he's ready to attack again. He should be dangerous at this course. I would expect another top 10 finish from AB and potentially able to contend here.
Yeah, I think he could win at pretty much any course he shows up to. But I think courses like this definitely align more with his game.
We'll see how he can play those par threes.
It'll
be interesting. There's a lot of par threes. Not everybody's built for just so many par threes.
To me, it comes down to the first round. I think him and Gannon both, like, they have to get out the gates hot. But AB specifically, because I think he almost has to see himself in contention again. Like, getting in the top 10, very important, you're right, for a season. But for another win, I think he almost has to see himself, like, after round one, like, oh, shoot, I'm one off. Yeah. I'm one off the lead, or I have the lead. I think that would be important. So I think, regardless of weather, because weather, I think, also makes round one more important, I think just for mental state and for his confidence level in his game, I do think it's going to be important, if he wants to win here, for him to do a lot of that winning in round one. Yeah. So he can then cruise the rest of the way. But we'll see. I really do like his game for this course. And I do think, you know, the slip is, he can put the slip behind him with a good performance here, yeah, or he could just prove he's just an up and down player with another, you know, 25th place finish here. It's just like, okay, that's AB. He's going to be in contention some, and he's not going to be some. So this is a little bit of a storytelling moment for his season here. Any other players you have your eyes on coming into this event?
Yeah, I look at an event with still really talented players, but a wounded field. I look at three players in particular that are at the top of my list for need a win now, namely the Robinson brothers, Ezra and Isaac. I think those are the first two to look at, and then Kyle Klein as well. I think between those three, all three of them have a really good chance of winning in this event, and we'll be looking to seize this opportunity and gain a little bit of momentum here and finally get over the hump.
Yeah, Isaac Robinson had a very solid play last year. He could have won this event, yeah, and had to win to a fourth or a third round.
Yeah.
But Kyle Klein was the guy that came to my mind, mm-hmm, where I feel like he's definitely, this is a course that suits his game. He could really put himself in contention at Beaver State, but I think he could really take it down here if he just plays well, plays to his game. And this could also be a big one for Ezra Robinson. I don't necessarily think this course fits Ezra Robinson's game per se, but you never know. When the field's weaker, I think it also could bring in a guy like Chris Dickerson into the conversation.
He's going to be very interesting to watch.
So with the field, like, and we're saying the field's weaker mainly because you are missing Eagle McMahon, who could do really well out here. Obviously, shoulder injury, question mark. Paul McBeth, Calvin Heimberg, Ricky Wysocki, James Proctor just won over there. Like, there's enough killers that are gone that it's not like the dogfight for 10th is still going to be the same dogfight. It's the dogfight for the win that got a little easier, yeah, in my opinion.
There's a few missing pieces. It's still, this win will still be very impressive.
Yeah.
You're just missing a couple pieces that would certainly be contending here.
Yeah. Now, on FPO's side, Silva Saarinen and what she's doing over in Europe is kind of stealing the spotlight.
Yeah,
a little bit. So which player do you think could benefit the most from getting a win here before heading into what will be a much fuller field in Europe?
Yeah, I would say any player not named Missy Owner Holland, because this might be your last chance.
Okay.
Once the field gets stronger again and you bring in, you bring Kristen, Evelina, Henna, and now Silva, who's also playing out of her mind right now, into the field, those fringe players that look to steal one are going to have such a hard time doing so.
Absolutely.
In an FPO field that just doesn't really, you don't see that a ton. So that's my opinion is, you know, those three players, Missy, Owen, and Holland have kind of put in some working and had some success this year already, found their way onto the podium many times and in the winner's circle. Anybody not named those three right now that's playing in this event, this is going to be one of their maybe last chances to have an easier time, I should say, getting that win. They are on the roof.
On the roof directly above us. Yeah. So that's a new one. I actually have a different opinion. I think that this is an event that Missy Gannon needs to capitalize on, can benefit the most here, because Missy, realistically, if you look at this, it feels like she's having a very solid season. She is having a good season, but she's in fourth in the Pro Tour standing points, only 10 out of the lead right now at Evelina Salonen. I think a win here, which she has a good history of this course, I think a win here could be very important, just because come July 12th, you reintroduce Kristen Tatar into the field. You reintroduce Evelina Salonen. You reintroduce Henna Blomroos. You reintroduce a red-hot Silva Saarinen right now, in addition to what she's already facing. Mm-hmm. And it's just for everyone, like you were saying, it's just going to be that much harder to get a win come like literally 8 days from now.
Yeah.
So for Missy, I like her at this course. She lost to Kristen Tatar last year. Kristen's the back-to-back champ of this event and is not here. I think this is where Missy could really just, hey, go ahead and get another one here. Because at the end of the year, when we're looking back on win counts and stuff, we're not going to fully remember. You know, we'll probably be like, oh yeah, well, Kristen wasn't there, but that doesn't really factor into it. Like, when you're looking at player of the year conversation, well, wins talk.
Let's also not forget that Missy's pretty successful at that tour championship, and she wants to be as close to having as much of a head start as possible.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think this is a big one for her. Personally, is she your favorite to take this down?
Yeah, I would say so. Just given the history in the field as it is right now. I mean, we've been going to kind of the same three players these last few weeks. And yeah, she's probably the top of that list right now.
Now, Owen hasn't played this event in the past, but with a win here, she could also look at overtaking that number one spot in the Pro Tour standings, being only 3 points behind Evelina Salin. And what do you think of her game lining up with this course?
I think it'll line up pretty well. I think the amount of par threes there are, and at the FPOTs especially, a lot of them aren't super long. I think she'll be able to play those pretty well, and obviously she can always putt. So I think she has pretty good chances here. I'll be curious to see how it works out for her. But I used to think her game wasn't as adaptable anywhere as much as now. I kind of just accept the fact that Owen could kind of make most courses work. So
yeah.
I don't really consider her a specialized player.
No, I definitely think this course could line up with her game, because I think that on the FPO side, especially, really on both sides, but I think putting's crucial out here.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of players are going to, by nature of this course, give themselves outside looks.
Yeah.
I think the player that can capitalize on that 25 to 40 foot putt is one that's going to be really dangerous, and we know that's Owen's specialty.
Yeah.
So I think that's where Owen really could pull ahead of the field here, is the fact that if she does give herself a lot of those looks, she is in the current field the favorite. Silva Saarinen is the best putter in the world statistically right now, not in this field. So Owen Scoggins, number two, is in this field. Are there any other players in FPO that you have your eyes on heading to this event?
Yeah, Valerie Mandahano, probably number one. I am just waiting to see if she's going to make any moves this year. It's just been super quiet. Distance has been such a struggle for her. I think this is a course that maybe she could overcome that, and I'm just looking to see some success from her this year. So that's somebody I've been watching.
Yeah, no, I really like Valerie Mandahano here. Another player that came to my mind is Rebecca Cox, simply from when she's on, it seems like her putting and her placement backhands are two of the areas that when she's on, she really excels at. And so if her game's clicking, I think she could be dangerous out here. But Valerie Mandahano is definitely the first one that came to my mind. As we head into predictions, point standings going into it, Trevor has a 13-point lead at 68 points. I am behind at 55 points. I'll kick it off with MPO. I've got Gannon Burr taking this down. I do think that this is just his weekend. But I've got Simon Lazat coming in second and Anthony Barella, my top three. Okay. First time he's in my top three in several weeks.
Yeah, quite a bit different from mine. I do have Gannon winning. I think that just makes a lot of sense. But I've got Kyle Klein in second and Ezra Robinson in third.
All right. Now, over on FPO, I have Missy Gannon taking it down. I do think she's the favorite out here. I have Owen Scoggins coming in second. And I was looking at Holland and Ella. Neither of them have good history at this event. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm just doing it. I'm sending it. I'm putting Valerie Mandahano third place.
Yeah, I thought about that. I went Missy Owen 1-2, but I took Holland Hanley in third.
All right, now over in the dark horse pick, I'm going to do it. I'm going to send it. I looked at, and historically, this player is good out here. He's been in the news a lot recently. I think this is a breakout event with his new bag. Give me Kevin Jones as my dark horse pick.
It's a really good pick. I like that pick a lot. I'm going a little bit off the script here. I'm going to take Randon Lotta.
All right.
I've seen more success out of him, more consistency out of him, like where his low-end tournaments lately have been like 40th place, but he's snuck up into the top 25 a number of times. Really been impressed by his game so far this year. He's really improved past maybe what I thought I would expect out of him, at least this soon. And, yeah, I think he has potential to get into that top 30, that top 20.
Yeah. I don't mind that pick at all. So, Randon Lotta versus Kevin Jones for the dark horse pick. It turns out that the dark horse pick is like one of the most important things we do, because every week where I'm just losing points to Trevor. I'm bleeding.
Yeah, I feel like in
Kevin Jones is my only hope.
I genuinely think in dark horse this year, like I'm maybe lost like once or twice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Kevin Jones is my Captain America on July 4th weekend. Bring it home, KJ USA. All right, that wraps it up. I hope you have a chance this weekend to get out and watch some disc golf, the Des Moines Challenge going down. They're also streaming the Finnish Nationals, I believe.
Yeah, dual coverage.
A little dual coverage going on. So if you've got nothing to do, you got like morning FPO, FPO, and morning MPO, MPO. You got like, what is that, 4, 8, 12, 16 hours of disc golf. And then you sleep for 8, wake up and do it again.
Sounds good.
So if you got, yeah, that could be your weekend.
Sounds like a plan.
Why not? But get out, watch some Des Moines Challenge, and then we'll be back on Monday to wrap it all up for you and put a bow on the whole tournament. We'll see you on Grip Lock then.